Well, good morning, everyone. I think Brother Aaron lined us up, Brother Tony first, and me after, so you'll hear that heavenly accent, the Arabic accent. Arabic will be spoken in heaven, according to Islam. That's the only thing I agree with them. Let me salute you in the Christian Arabic salute. Salam Allah ma'akum wa na'mat al-Rabb Yasuh alaykum. May God's peace be with you and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This morning I will present to you the ministry that God has bestowed upon my family, myself, my wife, children. It's a ministry that we've been working and laboring through this ministry and for the last 12 years. So I want to share with you experience of what worked best for us on the internet, reaching the Arab world. This is where our field is. The Lord says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. There are many fields. And we are called for that Arab world field. What worked for us? I believe we developed a good mission model last 4 or 5 years. I would also share that with you. I believe that model can be ported, can be taken, and perhaps implemented in other target countries using other languages such as Turkish, Farsi, Urdu, other Islamic countries. In 1991, the first Gulf War, if you remember, the Iraq invaded Kuwait in 1990, and the Allied countries, led by the United States, pushed back and delivered Kuwait, freed Kuwait, and then pushed the Iraqis in South Iraq. And General Schwarzkopf, leading the Allied nations, he chose a place in Iraq called Safwan, and he wanted the ceasefire to take place in that area. It's an airport, small airport, and he chose that airport where the ceasefire will be signed by the Iraqis. And his general said, "We have that airport under control." He told President Bush, he told President Mr. Cheney, "This is where we're going to do the ceasefire when we sign the ceasefire, and this is where the Iraqis will meet us." Well, come to find out, at the last minute, his general told him, "No, we don't have that airport under control. We have it under observation." Apparently, it was the Air Force that took control of Safwan, but the troops were not in Safwan. And I submit to you that mass evangelism, mass media, the internet, satellite-based ministries, the radio-based ministries, are in that same boat. We have the Arab world, the Islamic world, perhaps under observation, but there is no replacement for the missionaries. There is no better than have missionaries and church planting. And so, with that, let me tell you what we're doing. Concerning church planting, but before that, I'd like to share with you how the ministry started, and share with you also where the current and status of the internet today with social networking and the power of social networking sites, and then move on to tell you the model we've developed. We started back in 1994. I am also from Lebanon. God saved me when I was 17. I survived 3 years of civil war in Lebanon between Christians, nominal Christians, and Muslims. I was a fighter with the Christian forces in Lebanon. 3 years, from the age of 12 to the age of 15, I was on the front line fighting Muslims, the very people that now I'm called to reach the gospel. I left that war with a lot of hatred and intense animosity toward anything that said Islam. And God had to deal with me after I got saved, and he called me to share the gospel with Muslims, dedicate my life to bring the gospel to the Arabic-speaking people and to Muslims when I was 19. Anyway, in 1994, we moved to a northern part of Massachusetts. This is where I live, to reach a Lebanese community in that area. Northern Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire, we started a core group. Families, Lebanese families came to know the Lord. Following the pattern of the New Testament teaching, we brought this Bible study under the umbrella of the church where I was going to, Grace Bible Church in Dracut, Massachusetts. We've won several families by God's grace. And we were heading toward church planting, to plant an Arabic Baptist church in that area. And like any church planting stage, we went through all the outreaching activities, distributing literature, distributing Bibles, one-on-one witnessing. And also we tried to advertise for our Bible study on newspapers, mass mail. And this is when I heard something called the Internet. 1998, the Internet was at its birth, if you may. It was probably 2-3 years old, not even. And people didn't know much about it. So we started a small website, and we called it Arabic Bible Outreach Ministry. This is the name of our ministry, local ministry, at that time. And we worked hard to prepare for planting a church in that area. However, God had something else when we started that webpage. Let me just give you a high view of what the Internet is for those of you who are living in cave or in caves. The Internet is a mass maze of electronic communication. All of you know how now you can interact with people, instant messaging, chatting, audio chatting, video chatting, and you can read, blog, and what have you. It's powerful. And the power of it is the fact you can also, it supports foreign languages. In the late 1990s, early 2000, Arabic was not supported, nor Hebrew or Chinese. So we had to improvise at that time to, when we put the Arabic Bible, we had to improvise. We captured every letter of the Bible in a graphic format, and we displayed it all in a graphic format, letter by letter, in order for people to read it. It took a lot of programming. I'm an engineer, my background. My wife is a programmer. She did all the work. I took the glory. In 1998, we launched that website, and we bought our own address, www.arabicbible.com. As I mentioned to you, I did not know what the Lord was planning for us, and indeed, that website took a lot of our energy, especially the amount of visitors who were coming. I thought if I put a New Testament ad, free New Testament, we'll get perhaps one a month. We're trying to advertise for the local universities, try to tell them there's an Arabic outreach, Arabic Bible in the area. Well, requests were coming on a daily basis, and so we started putting articles, evangelistic articles, trying to outreach Muslims in English and reason with Muslims, and the visitation were getting increasing on a daily basis. And indeed, a door was opened. Paul, when he was going from Ephesus to Corinth, he was telling the Corinthians, I was planning to go there, but on my way to Tarsus, He was visiting Tarsus. I think he was trying to meet Titus. A door was opened unto them. The gospel, a door God opened for Paul, a door where he presented the gospel. And without us knowing, the Internet was an open door, not to our ministry per se, but I believe to his church. Let me just put this claim. I believe for the first time in Islamic history, for the first time in 1,400 years, finally the Bible in the Arabic language, which is, they consider, the heavenly language, was massively displayed. That took place in 1999, I think in 2000. And they have no excuse. God's word was there, and they're free to read it. And God's word is like a hammer. It will smash the rock into pieces. And God's word, where it goes, it will not come back to him void. Based on these two principles, I believe God opened the Internet, at least for his word. I think two historic moments in the history of the mission field was one, 1864, when the Bible was translated to Arabic. I believe part of the reason why Islam came to existence because the founder, Muhammad, was not exposed to any, as far as we know, to any scriptures in Arabic. He was exposed to heresies. He was exposed to heretical teachings. But no way do we see that he was exposed to the Word of God in the Arabic language. And I wish the Bible was translated back then in Arabic. We won't have all that mess, but God is in control. 1864, the Bible was translated by two Reformed Presbyterians in Beirut, Lebanon. It took them about 12 years. Eli Smith and Cornelius Van Dyke. This is why we call the version of the Arabic Bible the Van Dyke version. Cornelius Van Dyke was a genius man who knew Semitic languages, and he was able to finish the work, translate most of the Old Testament and the New Testament, because Eli Smith died of cancer. We're very thankful for the ministry of the Reformed Presbyterian, because they opened the whole Middle East, the whole Arab world, to the gospel. So from the keyboard of your computer, you literally can reach, in our case, you can reach any field you want. In our case, it's the Arab world. These are snapshots of pictures from the Arab world. You probably see some of them are performing one of the main pillar, which is the prayer. Our mission field, as I mentioned, our main target is the Arab world. The Arab world is made up of 22 countries. 22 different countries between Africa and Asia. There is even a country that I never knew. It considers itself, or it considers its official language Arabic, a country called Comoros, way down in South Africa. That's an Arabic country. Anyway, we're targeting this the Arab world. The Arab world is made up of 300 million. It's a very complex world because they have different dialects. When we went to Morocco, Tony and I, we could not understand the Moroccan dialect. We have different dialect coming from Lebanon and Syria and Jordan. We have our own dialect. But the common factor, the commonality between all these countries is we can speak and write the same classical Arabic language. The other complexity is you're dealing with three main faiths in that part of the world. The Shiites, the Sunnis, two main denominations in the Islamic faith. And then there are nominal Christians. People think there's no Christians in the Arab world. No, well, there are 15 million of them. I came from a very strict Catholic background. In Lebanon, there's more than 1.5 million Catholics. In Egypt, it was about 10 million Orthodox Coptics. Sudan, there's quite a bit. And there are believers. We think there are about 1 million believers all over the Arab world. Of course, indirectly, because of the internet, we also are exposed, our ministry got exposed, to the rest of the Muslim world. The Muslim world falls in the 1040 window. The brother who shared with us yesterday on Indonesia, Indonesia is the largest Islamic country, followed by India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Iran. These are Asian countries. 60% of the Muslim world falls in the Asian countries, 22% in the Arab world. And then now in Europe, it's more than 10-12% in the Balkans. The brother who shared with us this morning, Albania and all the Balkan countries. Now, of course, Europe, England and France and Germany. And then you have northern sub-Saharan countries where Brother Shoemaker was shared with us also. And the rest are North America. The first 5 years of our ministry, we dedicate ourselves on four fronts. The first front is, as I mentioned to you, the Word of God. We were able to get the Word of God in many formats. The language of the internet, HTML. And then we were able to bring it into Microsoft Word. And that was a breakthrough, because we were able to bring the whole Bible, Arabic Bible, with its vowels. That have not been done electronically. But by God's grace, we were able to do that and display the full text of the Arabic Bible with vowels. And then we did it on audio. The whole Bible, we were first to bring it in audio, where people can hear each chapter in audio and even do a search, very, very primitive way of searching, and then the PDF format. That took a couple of years of hard work. We had volunteers, but it was mainly myself and then my wife. Then we focused on reaching Islam. Brother Tony, this morning, he read in Acts 17. And we saw how Paul went into the temple reasoning with the Jews from where? From the scriptures. The best method to reach Muslims, stick to the word of God. Preach the gospel. So outreaching, reaching them with the word of God. And reasoning with them from the word of God. The first task we have is to validate for them that the Bible, our Bible, is not tempered. Its supremacy is beyond. So you have to spend quite a bit of time to show them proofs that the Bible have not been tempered. Once you prove that, then you are in good ground to share with them and reason with them concerning the gospel. We spend a lot of time with putting sermons. What we've done is we talked to many ministers and those who worked in radio broadcasting ministries, and we asked them for permission. So we took all their sermons, we took all their devotions that they've done in years of work, and we spent many hours encoding through cassettes, encoding them into the computer. And I believe that was a powerful thing where people can hear a sermon anytime, or can download it, or even hymns. That was a big hit when we put hymns. And this is, we're talking early, late 1990s and early 2000. I know now it's the technology of the internet is moving in an incredible pace. So now technologists tell us now that the internet is in its toddler stage. Imagine that. With all the technology, it's still at its toddler stage. We spend also quite a bit of time on supplying tools and how to witness to Muslims, explaining the Muslim world, explaining what the Arab world, the makeup of the Arab world for Christians. We also had a lot of information for Arab Christians, where to find churches, where to find radio broadcasts, and where to buy books and what have you. The fourth front, and this is part of 2003, where we invested a lot of money and man hours in also taking permissions from authors, where we took a lot of their books, solid biblical books, and we retyped them and posted them on the web, creating a virtual library. And we felt converts, seekers behind the Islamic veil don't have the freedom or the luxury we have here in the West or in Lebanon. Lebanon is more free to buy books. So we spend a lot of time offering these doctrinal books to them. And I believe that played an important role in solidifying church planting in the Arab world. The first 5 years of this is just to give the glory to the Lord. The visitation, we gauged our ministry, the effectiveness of the number of visitors that came to our website. We created 4 different websites. By 2002, we almost catered to more than 300,000 visitors. Those websites, the main platform website is ArabicBible.com, which is a mixture of Arabic and English. It has many resources. We're restructuring this website currently. Then we created a website totally in Arabic called An-Nur, which means the light. An-Nur focuses on reaching Muslims, explaining the tenets of Christianity, explaining what we believe, why we believe in a Trinity, why we believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, why we believe that the Word of God is supreme. And then we create another website called Al-Haq, the truth. And here we turn the table around, and here we were reasoning with Muslims. Does your beliefs pass the golden measure, the Word of God? Is the Quran truly from God? Let's see. We never crossed the line, though, where we attacked the Prophet of Islam. We never crossed the line where we also bashed their Quran. Don't ever cross that line, because you lose your audience. We kept faithfully to what I believe, at least as the director of the ministry, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready to give an answer. Every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with what? meekness, and hope. We reason with them. We explain to them. Then we respectfully ask them questions to make them think and make them question, do really their faith is really from God or not? And then we had the Kalimat al-Hayat, which means the Word of God. That's the virtual library I told you about. I'll explain that more to you next few slides. The fruit of our first 5 years where we offered New Testaments, we had, and the New Testaments, there were distributed many, shipped them to Arab countries, literature. We had a correspondence course, but it wasn't our ministry. We were directing people to a different ministry because we didn't have the bandwidth or the staff. We didn't have none. And up until 2005, where we hired our own webmaster, and we directed people to a free Arabic magazine, ministry called Voice of Preaching the Gospel out of Colorado, Colorado Springs in Colorado. The second 5 years, we give the Lord all the glory that by 2007, we catered to almost 2,000 visitors. And then at the end of 2007, 2008, we experienced a massive cyber attack. It was a vicious cyber attack where we had to call in the FBI. For 16 weeks, we could not get our server up. We were targeted by a vicious attack that usually our government sites or South Korea are experiencing. But I don't know why they picked on our sites. And I believe it's not something special, but it's just the Word of God. Satan was not happy. And we had to change our IP address. For those of you who are techie, we have to change our address twice in order to avoid the cyber attack. Anyway, in 2008, we took a step back and we just look at all what we've done. And we realize that we have now 6 websites that God is using in different fronts. So we solidified our platform, which is websites, and we restructured our ministry. And we focus our ministry in 3 different facets, where we have the outreach and evangelism, which was kind of writing on our websites, where we gave material and media. We created our own CDs. We created our own pamphlets and tracks. And then we started being active in social networking sites. I'll explain that in the next few slides. That's a powerful door, powerful opportunity, social networking sites. Then we got involved in Islam awareness. I believe everyone here who's involved in Islam evangelism ought to be involved in raise Islam awareness among churches, among fellow believers. We ought to tell our churches that Muslims are not our enemy. They are our mission field. We have to motivate our people to look at Muslims through the eyes of Christ. We cannot keep that animosity between our churches and believers have that view that they are the enemy. And we have to change that. And I'm speaking from experience because I grew up, as I mentioned to you, in a vicious civil war where I considered a Muslim as my enemy because they massacred my village. I almost lost my dad and mom. I've lost close relatives, more than 16 of them, where they were axed, chopped off their heads. That's how vicious it came. And as a young man, it left a scar because I wanted revenge. And God had to deal with my heart. And I can tell you one thing. Every time I witness to a Muslim, it's a healing process for me. The other one we focus upon is church planning. We'll go through that, tell you what we're doing concerning follow-up and discipleship, which is leading to supporting church planters such as Brother Aaron. We are in the black. We are involved in ministries in the United States. Mass outreach was something Brother Tony taught us. He created and founded this movement. Now we are doing it in New England. Believe it or not, there's 59 mosques in New England. There's 29 mosques in Connecticut, 19 in Massachusetts. We feel responsible to at least outreach these mosques. And then also we need missionaries for the Islamic communities in the United States. We're not talking overseas. The mission field is here. The mission field, we have a new frontiers right in our mission field. Let me just quickly take you through the status of the current internet. We need to understand how the internet is playing a critical role in reaching closed countries, restricted countries. Social networking sites is powerful. It used to be, up until 2006, 2007, most of the sites were what I call static. You broadcast your material. This is you, and you're broadcasting to them. Well, social networking sites changing that, where it's giving you more opportunity where people having relationships with other people. So people can come, put comments on your site. You go and put comments on their comments, and people put comments on their comments, and you build a followers. And the key is to attract them, attract contacts to come and converse with you. It used to be, prior to 2007, we wanted to know how many visitors. But after that, we wanted to see how many contacts we can harvest. Attract as many contacts, get their emails, get their addresses. Why? So we can follow them up, so we can probably disciple them, so we can forward them eventually to the missionary in the ground, in the mission field. So social networking, enable interaction, enable conversation. And you're all familiar with Facebook. It's the number one social networking site, Twitter. YouTube, Skype. Skype is a powerful tool for follow-up and discipleship. I'll talk a bit more about so-called content management system. This is where we're doing all our sites. For those who are techies, the Joomla application, some of you know what I'm talking about. We did not touch blogging or chat rooms. I don't know. We don't have experience with those two. From all what I've heard from other ministries, it did not work for Muslim evangelism. It probably worked for what we call ramming Islam, destroying Islam, where someone will bash Islam and he'll create a chat room and people will come, Muslims will come to hear what he says, and they have this fiery discussion going on. But that's about it. Why social networking sites are critical now or playing an important role to bring the gospel to closed countries? Well, as you all know, the young people 30 years and under live on social networking. The Arab world, probably 40% of their population are younger than 20 and younger than 30 years old. And most of them don't have jobs. So where do they do? They watch satellite TV and they are on the internet, surfing the internet. And they love to make friends, especially with the West. They try to make friends with the West in the hope of finding jobs. Muslims are religious. This is the what I love about the ministry with Muslims is they love to talk about anything about God. They're religious people and they're open to talk and respond to religious questions. So what I'm trying to tell you is Facebook is a mission field by itself, and you ought to consider, and I'll show you a case study by two missionaries, how they use Facebook to reach Muslims in Saudi Arabia. There's freedom, of course, by, you know, they ask their questions. There's no drama, no pressure. There's privacy, and they remain anonymous. They can use aliases, and you can use alias. You don't have to expose who you are. So again, social networking is giving us this freedom to engage Muslims and reason with them concerning the gospel. Let me give you a case study by a missionary who've used Facebook, and now we're working with him because we're sending our contacts that come from Saudi Arabia, people who call us for New Testaments or are studying with us, correspondence course. We turn around and give these contacts to him because he does the following. He spent about 4 or 5 months on Facebook going to different Arab countries and searching their universities. And he grabs all names from that university. For example, here we have Jordan. And then he emails each person. He asks him if I can be your friend. He tells them I'm an American. I'm a Christian. I have questions about Islam. Can you help me? So he gathered about a few hundred of contacts through Facebook. And he spent a few months in chatting, corresponding with them. Finally, at the end of 4 or 5 months, he boils them down to 10, 12 contacts who are serious. And then he takes a bold step. He travels. He did it in Saudi Arabia. He travels to Saudi Arabia and he meets with them in person. And that was a successful mission model that I thought it was ingenious by itself. And so he got hooked up with some believers in Saudi Arabia where they helped him to, they made all the calls through phones to these contacts, and he met them in private. He's into sports. He plays basketball, and he belongs to some kind of sport club, and he can come to Saudi Arabia and present himself as a some kind of sport expert. And God used them in such a way. And now we have connection with them, and now he's following contacts that come to us from Saudi Arabia. So this is one case study that we saw in Facebook. Second one is Twitter, and this is more a young man. What he does also, he also search key religious groups in Twitter, and he tries to invite them to follow him. And basically he tells them, I get this book, it's a religious book, I'm reading it, it's great. Anyone who like it, I can give you a free book. And that's how we make contacts with them. And here he sends me how he was able to grab someone from Saudi Arabia to follow him. Twitter, you can follow people. He's from the Saud family. And eventually the email says at the bottom here, he said, I didn't read it yet. He's asking if you read the book. I'll get to it on Monday, so nothing to say. But I want to ask you, are you a Muslim? So here, started a conversation. And this is because it's Twitter. Just to give you an example how social networking has given us opportunities to reach close countries. Skype. Most of you know what Skype is. The power of Skype is not only evangelism, but also discipleship. We use that heavily with our people in Lebanon. We have staff in Lebanon. We have one guy who is fully committed in discipleship and follow-up. When I first started Skype in 2005, 2006, I could not keep up with people calling me to speak, to talk in Arabic. And many of them, when I talk Muslims from Arab countries, I would ask them questions. Am I the first Christian you ever talked to? And they'll say, yep. This is after we talk and share the gospel with them. YouTube. The power of YouTube, this is an area where we lack a little bit, but I think the power of it is testimonies of Muslims, converts. It helps Muslims to lift their eyes and look. It helps us also to realize that God is moving. God is moving, and many Muslims are coming to know the Lord. This is a powerful tool. Testimonies, devotional and sermons, and then hymns. They love hymns on YouTube. It's a big hit. And then people can comment and give feedbacks on your videos. This is a snapshot of it, where people can comment on a video and other can comment and on your feedback and what have you. And again, the key is to harvest contacts. This is your gold mine here. This is what we're focusing on. All right, so let me move on. The feedback now, we can attract feedback through a new way of putting together a website, something called content management system. Those of you who are techies, you know what I'm talking about. This is a great tool to track communication. And basically, you attract people to come and comment on your article or vote on your article and or subscribe to your newsletter or what have you. And this is all done automatically. It solicits feedback. And so it's great. This is an example of our website. We changed all our websites to this application. This is the Al-Haq, the truth, where people can come and comment on this particular article, and they can vote. They can say if they like the article or the question we're asking or what have you. Feedback, people can come in and ask for prayer requests, ask questions concerning the Bible, and you need time to answer. And this is why we have a dedicated worker to do all of the research and answer them. He's answering them in English and Arabic. Yet again, social networking. So now let me tell you more what we're move on. Just explain what we do. This is the model now we're on. Evangelism, as I mentioned, the websites. We target each site to cater to a certain goal. One is to reach Muslims. The other one to reason with Muslims. And then also we have particular interest in reaching nominal Christians. That's my people. And I feel responsible for them. This literature distribution. If you want to do a website to reach Muslims for your target country, number one, put that Bible of the country's language on the site. Number two, put the Arabic Bible because they think it's the heavenly language. Number three, offer free CDs, DVDs, or New Testaments. We have thousands, by God's grace, we were able to get thousands of literature made, and they are free for anyone who like. We can supply them to you. We have an Arabic and English. Parallel, side by side, we have CDs and DVDs. Concerning evangelism, another one is the audio. We got audio now with drama skits where people can listen to a gospel message through a drama, Bible reading, as I mentioned, sermons. And now we started 2 years ago something called radio internet broadcast, where 24/7 we're broadcasting Bible readings, devotions, hymns, so people can sit down, work on their computer, and they have the radio turned on, broadcasting all these biblical messages and Bible reading. And then we have another radio that broadcasts the Bible, the New Testament, all the time. And this is easy to do, as long as you have the sermons and the hymns and what have you ready. Let me just share with you concerning follow-up and discipleship. This is a new ministry that we started focusing on 2 years ago, 3 years ago, especially after we met with a missionary partner such as Brother Aaron. The first one is the online correspondence course. Powerful way of discipling converts. Second one, which we started this year, is a daily devotional bulletin that we sent to all our subscribers. Third one, of course, follow-up and discipleship. Fourth one is an online seminary. And I'll talk more about that. The online Bible school, this is a strategic and growing arm of church planting, I believe. We have a 5 correspondence course curriculum. It focuses on the foundation of the Christian faith from the validity of the Bible, and we build upon it. Muslims are been taught for 1400 years that our Bible has been corrupted. If that's not the case in schools, they teach them that our Bible is made up of stories and myths and what have you. So you have to break that brainwashing process and just show them that God's Word, the Bible is God's Word. We take personal emails that come to us, we take it seriously. Each one who emails us for questions or prayers, we answer it. And we take a personal interest in answering them and following them up. This is a key thing in follow-up and discipleship. And then we have, on a daily basis, 2-3 hour slot for people to call us on Skype, and they can ask questions concerning the Bible or prayer. This is our missionary, George Joachim. He was in Sidon, the biblical city in Lebanon, and he is our director of follow-up and discipleship. Statistically, it's incredible. When I was reading the experience of Arab World Mission, they've worked in North Africa for the last 100 years, and they had the same model. Incredible to me. When I just read their book, what they've done, what we've done the same thing, and we saw the same results. However, they used the radio to broadcast the gospel, and they used correspondence course, and they used bulletins, and they used seminaries. We used the website, and we used correspondence course, and what have you. And I was struck to find the same response, that 50% who registered with you to study Bible correspondence course do not reply. Never reply. That's a fact. We get on a daily basis 10 to 15 people registering for that online Bible school. But half of them drop out. And then the rest, out of the rest of them, out of the other 50, 10% really follow up through and to finish all the courses. So out of the 10 or 15 people who register, one is seriously studying with you, which is praise God for. This is a ready seeker who is ready to join a local gathering. And if you talk to Brother Aaron, he'll tell you the difference between those who simply ask for the New Testaments and those who studied with us correspondence course, and you'll feel the difference. You'll see the difference. This guy is ready. He just needs follow-up. He needs fellowship. He needs to be part of a local church. So because of that, we felt, well, we have 50% are not responding. We have a daily people contacting us. We put together a daily bulletin. So we take all our subscribers and we follow up and we send them on a daily basis, 5 days a week, a bulletin which outlines the following. One is recommended reading from the Bible. They can read it and they can hear it. Number two, encouraging devotional. Number three, we put a testimony, someone who came, how he came to know the Lord. Number four, we give him a link to listen to a radio, sermon. Number five, we give him a link to listen to a hymn. And then we give a slot where we present someone's email who wrote back to us, and we highlight his email. So the key here is to keep that feedback, keep that conversation, keep that bi-directional transaction going. That's the key. And now we're working on taking it one level, which is text messaging. When I was in Morocco a few months ago in September, visiting Brother Aaron, although he wasn't there, I was struck with one thing. As I was talking to a seeker, a brother in the Lord, Moroccan, I was talking to him, and then we got to talk about the Bible. So he pulled his phone, and guess what? He started reading the Bible from his phone. 12 years ago, I would never imagine this is where the Bible would end up, on your cell phone. And then he was reading text messaging. And someone told me, we do get some devotion. He didn't know what ministry it is. I'm like, wow, we can do that. We can send text message, a verse of the day, to subscribers to their cell phones. A devotional, a small one. Again, we need to encourage these seekers. They are under immense pressure. And we need to follow them up, encourage them, advise them as much as possible. The next level we're going to do is release an electronic newsletter, which has to do with church development, and expound on Christian living. Brother Aaron will tell you that the culture of Morocco, people, they lie, they think it's fine. This is their culture. So you got to explain to believers standards of Christian living and standard of Christian family. The treatment of women in Islam is sad, and we got to change that. Anyway, let's just go on. I think the jewel of our ministry is the following. A developer came and volunteered himself, and we created this site, which is now a program. This site is, as far as I know, there's none like it in the Arab world. It has the Bible searchable with its vowels. It has the Bible in four languages. But the interesting part of it is it has commentary for each verse. He took all the commentaries, and you can display French, English, Spanish, and we can even bring in Turkish, Urdu, whichever. But the key is we have commentaries for the Bible. We have outline for each book. We have audio for each book. We have, this is an example how you click on the link, the commentary, it opens up the commentary for that particular verse. Same thing in Arabic. You can choose which commentary you want. We have 4 or 5 commentaries for each verse of the New Testament. We don't have the Old Testament yet. We're working on to get the Old Testament in order to release a CD. And this is for free distribution. And then, lately, we did something that we don't have in Arabic. Treasury Scripture Knowledge. And so this brother was able to implement it. It's powerful. And this is a great tool for workers in the Arab world, for church planters, for believers. And it's free. They can download it. And they have this immense resources between their hands. And this took a lot of hours from our part, and believers supporting us, God's money investing. And this is all toward the task of seeing a church standing on its feet in the Arab world. The electronic library, we have hundreds of books under all these categories from commentaries. We watch that site. Doctrinally, we watch it. We are Baptistic, dispensationalist. We watch all the books we put in to follow in that beliefs. And so we have books, especially in the answering cults, apologetics, family matters. So this is another jewel of our ministry. And I praise the Lord for our workers. Brother Andre, he's in Sidon. He's our webmaster, working fully dedicated for our websites. Brother Antoine, he's from Syria. He's our translator. He knows the Arabic language well. He makes sure all our Arabic language is correct. He translated many commentaries of Ironside to Arabic, translated many books on creation, which we don't have in the Arabic library, to Arabic. We got permissions from all the authors. Brother George in the middle. These are our staff. We have 2 other staff, part-timers. and we keep needing more people. Let me talk to you about this online seminary. People who finish the curriculum of 5 courses usually ask us, we need more. And so we partner with our brother in Lebanon, Raymond Abu Mikhail, and his wife Layla. They are under IPM. Brother here, you know him very well. And he came up with online seminary. So we partnered with them. In fact, Brother Raymond and I went to visit Morocco this last summer. And he got exposed to the mission field. And so this is yet another component of taking seekers who show interest, who show growth, spiritual growth, and are gifted in leadership. Perhaps you cannot bring them to seminaries, but bring the seminary to them. This is in Arabic. And so this is yet another added component of helping, supporting church planting. All right, let me come to the fun part here. Well, this is great. So far, you're saying, well, you know, God's word is being broadcasted. It started in the 50s through radio ministry. Perhaps the interaction between radio-based ministry and listeners were through mail. And then we got the internet, the satellite TV in the 1980s and 90s. Same thing where people watching this TV program in the Arab world would call them or mail them. And then the advent of the internet, where they can converse, interact, read their sites, and this live chat and what have you. So God's word is being broadcasted to the Arab world, and we have all these contacts coming from these ministries. The key is, how can all these ministries be able to plant a church? That is a challenge, a question that we wrestled with for years. 2006, 2007, 2006, I was visiting this area, Atlanta, and I came to visit Pastor Gardner. I met the first time Brother Aaron, and they showed me their vision of planting churches in North Africa. In my heart, I thought, these people don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry, because they don't know the language and the culture. But I was amazed to see how Brother Aaron, in within a year, going to North Africa and founding a church. And yet to meet other missionaries under the ministry of Pastor Gardner with the same passion. So a synergy came. It was a natural way of partnering with them and started sending all these contacts to missionaries and ground.